Hello and welcome to this British Journal of Surgery podcast. I'm Wendy Barnaby and today we'll be talking about breast cancer. More specifically, about the best way to find out whether the cancer's spread to the sentinel lymph nodes under the armpit. It's important to do this during an operation for breast cancer because the surgeon can then avoid removing the nodes in patients whose cancer hasn't spread to them. Or if it has, they can be removed immediately. And these patients are then spared a second operation and can benefit sooner from additional therapies. In the UK, pathologists commonly examine the histology of the lymph nodes. But in recent years, molecular diagnosis has gained ground, and what we'll be discussing now is an evaluation of that newer technique. It's called one-step nucleic acid amplification, OSNA for short. It detects and amplifies the mRNA of cytokeratin 19 that's expressed on the surface of epithelial cells. Now, I'm joined by Mr. Mark Kissin and Professor Graham Layer, who are co-authors of the paper that's called Multicenter Evaluation of Intraoperative Molecular Analysis of Sentinel Lymph Nodes in Breast Carcinoma. Mark and Graham specialise in screening, diagnosis and the management of breast disease at the Royal Surrey County Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust. And we're also joined by Mr. Ramsay Cutress, Senior Lecturer and Consultant Surgeon at the University of Southampton and Southampton Breast Unit. Now, Mark, if I could start with you, why did you do this evaluation?
Well, we've been involved with the introduction of sentinel node mapping for breast cancer for about 10 years. Firstly, with the Almanac trial, then the New START program. And I was approached by a Japanese team who make the OSNA equipment about 5 years ago, saying that they wished to have an evaluation team in the UK looking at the introduction and application of this new technology. And it sounded very exciting, and we thought we were in a very good position to offer to do primary research into the subject. And we wanted to see that it was, first of all, possible to do and as good as the gold standard histology, and also to see that it was possible to do in several different settings, several different types of hospital, and therefore applicable to the nation as a whole. And in this respect, we've not been disappointed.
And what are your main findings?
The findings are that the new technology is equivalent to the standard process of pathology as described in all the guidelines. We feel that it is actually superior, but we wanted to show that it was equivalent, and then we wanted to harness that new technology as a means to provide one-stop surgery for patients requiring lymph node retrieval, because that second operation is a difficult operation to do. I think we all acknowledge that, and it causes not only delays in treatment, but also increased complications for patients. So the first step was to ensure that the technology both worked and was as good as what we had already, and it has exceeded all our expectations.
There have been previous studies in the field, so what does your paper add to them?
Well, the previous studies were in smaller numbers. They were not in what we would call pseudo-live situations, and they weren't specifically concentrating on sentinel nodes. They were looking at the principle of any node with metastasis. So it was bringing together several different strands that makes this different, although some very similar studies have been done in other parts of the world with slightly different flavours, and not only with this machinery, but with very similar machinery as well, which unfortunately is no longer available.
Ramsay Cutress, let me turn to you. Why do you think the work was important to publish?
I think it was important because, first of all, it showed that in the UK healthcare setting, and in fact in a healthcare setting in general, that it is actually possible to do this using this particular technology in the live setting. And this is the first study that shows this. It's also the first study that shows it actually within sentinel nodes. So I think that's important. important to show that it actually can be done. And they're the first people, I think, to show this.
Now, the team did a lot of work comparing the results of the two methods, the histological and the molecular, but there were cases in which each method gave a different result from the same lymph node. There does seem to be a real problem in evaluating the accuracy of the molecular method. I mean, I'd be interested to know what you think about this and how well you think the team coped with it.
Yes, I think this is a really interesting question. Obviously, part of the study was to compare the accuracy of the technique with the standard techniques, which is very reasonable and what we all want to know. However, this is difficult in the sense that you're always going to be sending a different bit of tissue to pathology compared to the bit that's looked at with the molecular technique. So it is possible that you've got what we call a micrometastasis or a small bit of tumour totally within the sections that's being looked at by one of the techniques and isn't there at all within the other. And that would give the appearances of disagreement between the two tests when both tests are actually correct. And we know this is the case through several lines of evidence, and the authors have also looked into this, which is useful. For example, you can sometimes see under the microscope that the whole of one bit of tumour is totally within the specimen that's sent to be looked at under the microscope, and therefore you cannot expect that the molecular method to pick it up if it's not within the bit sent to the molecular method. You can also look at other molecular markers within the sample that goes to the molecular test to corroborate the molecular findings and demonstrate that, and this is what this group has done here to support the findings that it is totally within one bit and not the other. And finally, you can look at if you're doing further surgery in this group where the molecular method is positive but the method under the microscope isn't, if you're doing further surgery, to see if you're getting the expected proportion of people having further disease. And in fact, other studies, for example from Portsmouth, have shown that to be the case. So I think this is a real issue when you're trying to compare these studies, that you will never get 100% agreement because you're not looking at the same bit. And the authors have done very well in accounting for this and trying to compensate for this in the analysis.
Graham, Leah, let me bring you in here. We've got various diagnostic situations here, haven't we? I mean, we've got lymph node metastasis, we've got sentinel lymph nodes and retrieved lymph nodes after full axillary dissection. Do you think that the molecular method will replace histopathology in all of these situations?
Well, certainly the rapid molecular method could replace histopathology for the diagnosis of lymph node metastases. However, I think that is going to be unlikely. It is certainly possible to analyse sentinel lymph nodes very satisfactorily in the intraoperative phase of the patient's journey, and this is very useful. It may not entirely be perfect for every single breast unit in the United Kingdom, for instance, depending upon the availability of pathologists and the equipment. But nonetheless, OSNA technique could become the gold standard for the measurement of the intraoperative analysis of sentinel lymph nodes. Now, when it comes to the retrieved lymph nodes after either the full axillary dissection or more limited axillary dissection, depending upon the differential OSNA result, then there is actually no need to use a rapid form of analysis by molecular biological techniques, and histopathology is a perfectly good gold standard for that situation. It is possible, of course, to analyse any lymph node with the technique using OSNA, but it is not necessary. So I would see the forward-going situation being that sentinel lymph nodes will be analysed by OSNA or something remarkably similar for the future as the new gold standard.
And Mark, what are the costs of the method? I mean, compared with histopathology, is it an expensive business?
I think we would say that from a vision and a trust point of view, this is cost neutral. On the one hand, you have the cost of the equipment, and the machinery by itself costs £60,000, and the consumables per patient about £125. But then you have to balance that against the decreased requirement for readmission of patients for second operations, decreased outpatient appointments for seroma aspirations, And when you do the sums, I think it will work out that it will be cost neutral. Maybe there will be cost savings, but I think it would be best to look at it as a cost neutral situation. But the key, the big key to all of this is improved patient satisfaction. The patient will know at the end of their procedure whether they're positive or negative, and it will then mean that they can stream through their cancer journey in a much more efficient manner and get to their oncology treatments quicker.
Is it a very difficult technique to master? I mean, do you have to have an awful lot of staff training and so on?
The members of staff who are au fait with molecular biology techniques, I think this is fairly routine. A training day is required, but after a very short space of time, it can be easily applied. Obviously, you need to have dedicated staff and you need to have backup staff when they're not available. But essentially, this can be done by laboratory technicians, and to some extent, the pathologists can be released to do other duties, which in turn is another saving on the overall budget.
Yes, I noticed that it does take a little time to perform the molecular analysis. I mean, the median time for a single node was 32 minutes, and for four nodes, 62 minutes. Given that, do you think it should be performed in the operating room, or would it be better done in a department of pathology?
I think each hospital will have its own arrangement. It would be very convenient to have it right next door to you in the theatre environment, but that poses questions of space and sterility for the technique. And it's also a question of ownership. The downtime while we're waiting for the result is a very important factor in list management, because it means there could be some time when the surgeon isn't operating and you need to rethink the strategy of how the list should run. Of course, it also means at the beginning of the day when you go live with this technique, you don't have a certain knowledge of how many patients will have positive nodes and how many will be negative, and therefore how many patients might need a bed for the night, how many are going to need a second part to their operation, which is retrieval of the non-sentinel lymph nodes. So it introduces uncertainty. It means we have to change the way that we work. But in the last 2 years, we've been going live, and we found that that's been actually an enrichment of our working life rather than a detriment. It means we have to have lists spread out throughout the week rather than just on one or two days.
Graham, do you think that the method could be used in other areas of cancer surgery?
Certainly. This is a very exciting thing to contemplate. There are lots of other areas of surgery where we feel this may become possible in the future. But of course, it all depends on what markers you're using for the Osner technique or similar. In the Osner technique, we use the epithelial marker CK19 representing breast cancer. But other areas may be such things as cutaneous malignancies, head and neck malignancies, gynecological and GI malignancies. And I think really the most important one would possibly be malignant melanoma in the first instance, where sentinel lymph node biopsy is becoming very much less contentious than it ever was previously, and it would be of great help to the patients to be able to undergo intraoperative analysis of sentinel lymph nodes in malignant melanoma, for instance. And I think this is a very exciting challenge for the future to the molecular biologists to develop these techniques to use the Osner machine for these patients to improve their cancer journey, much as it has done already in the breast cancer patients.
Ramsey, let me come back to you. The current guidelines for post-surgical treatment in breast cancer are largely based on histopathology, but there were 8 patients in this study who were diagnosed as false positive by the molecular technique. Do you think that the molecular method is oversensitive? I mean, that it might result in patients receiving more aggressive treatment than they really need?
I mean, I think that's a really interesting question. I think that's the million-dollar question. And I would say, as yet, we probably don't really know the answer. There's a lot of contention and debate in the literature about the significance of very small volume metastatic disease and what it really means. For example, all the big clinical trials have assessed the benefits of treatment when judged against conventional histopathology. Now that we've got more sensitive techniques, just because we don't necessarily understand fully the significance of some of these findings, it doesn't necessarily mean that the test is wrong. It probably means we've got more to learn, and I'm sure having the more sensitive test, when we can understand the significance, will in due course lead to more accurate and targeted treatments.
Mark, how widespread is the molecular method in breast cancer surgery at the moment? I mean, are you using it? Are other groups in the UK or Europe using it?
Well, we'd like to think that we have been the pioneers and the forerunners of the technique in this country. And there are now several units following the lead. As Ramsey mentioned, Portsmouth have also been at the forefront with a different machine, but basically the same philosophy. And other units such as High Wycombe, Chichester, the Royal Cornwall Hospital and Bristol are currently using this technique, with other hospitals such as the Royal Marsden about to come on board as well. In Europe, we've set up an OSNA's user group, and there are about 90 hospitals throughout Europe that are using this in current practice, quite a lot in Spain, Italy, Holland and Germany. So I do feel it's the thing of the future, and that's why this whole technology was looked into by the National Technology Adoption Centre as being of high priority. And the machinery that we're using not only gives us a yes-no, it gives us a how much positivity and a quantitative way, which is very exciting as well.
Well, it really sounds as though you think that this molecular diagnosis is going to be the future gold standard of care in breast surgery.
I believe that's the case, and we've been bold enough now to make this our usual method of activity for the last 2 years in some 500 patients, and we're very, very impressed with the results that we're getting, and first and foremost, our patients are really very pleased with the introduction of this technique as well.
Well, thank you all very much indeed. It's really been fascinating. And that's all for this BJS podcast. Thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again.